and will ask on this call. I'll give a very brief introduction and then go through some of the questions we've been sent, and then open it up to the audience as well. So look, I think first of all, more generally, as you all know, we have signed an exclusivity agreement with Anglo American. This is really, from my perspective, the culmination of close on 2 years of work to get this big license area we're sitting on of circa 850 square kilometers into better shape and really to make it to have sorted out a number of housekeeping issues and cleaning up legacy issues that really prevented the asset from being on the map. And I'm really delighted to say that we have secured Anglo American on this basis to have to take a really serious look at at what we're sitting on. I'm obviously quite limited in terms of what I can say. Sorry, I don't know. There was a bit of interference there. I'm limited in terms of what I can say, given the confidentiality agreement that we have in place with Anglo. But suffice to say that this was an agreement that we negotiated over a number of months with Anglo, and I think we have an extremely good outcome, in the sense that they will take a careful look at what we have. We will be sharing, obviously, information with them. And then within the 6 months, or at the start of the 6 months, they then have the opportunity to put some sort of commercial transaction to us. We obviously are under no obligation to accept that commercial transaction if it does so develop that way. So in that sense, it's very much in play. We're very much in play. I think as Remy has said many times, and I've also reiterated that, we are not here to make the majors wealthy. We're here to make our shareholders, all of you, as wealthy as we can, and rest assured that any potential deal we'll be looking at, that will be first and foremost on our minds. And so we feel, rather than entering into any sort of commercial deal prematurely, which, by the way, we could have done quite easily over the last year, it is much better to go down this route and see where we get to without binding ourselves. So I'm really tremendously excited. This, I think, is a potential game changer for ARC. It also puts us on the map with other majors. I will say that, we've had subsequent approaches, which obviously we can't entertain at this stage, but I think it's fantastic. And I think we're on the slipway here to something, I believe, very, very big. So, and I think you've seen that the share price starting to react, which is great. So I couldn't be happier. I mean, this is probably the most rewarding episode or incident that we've been able to report to shareholders over the last 2 years. And I think we're on the cusp of something very exciting. And so to all those shareholders who've sometimes been frustrated by the length of time it's taken, well done on hanging in there. I think there's much more to come. So that's what I'll say on the Anglo American transaction. On our drilling efforts, we have started drilling, as you know. We're going into the Zacco area. We're targeting an area called Fuji. We've drilled three holes. We're onto our fourth hole there. We will be releasing those results, as soon as practicable. I will say that Zambia is being affected by COVID, but not in a major way, not like South Africa has been, but it remains to be seen. But so far, we've really been able to operate pretty seamlessly. But there may well be hurdles ahead in terms of logistics and getting some of our results processed. But you know, we will obviously be exerting all the pressure we can to get those out to the market. Sasha, can you still hear me? Sasha, if you could just mute people, because I think there's some interference.
Yes, I can still hear you, Nick. If you don't need to have your microphone on, then please don't turn it on. Thank you.
Yeah, there's a name coming up, Jeff Pettifor. If you could mute, that would be great. Okay, that is, I think, where we are on drilling. We are looking to expand the drilling as we do further work. We've got exciting results from Chiesa East. We've had some results out of Muswema, which are also exciting. And I'm pleased to say, on Fuji, having drilled only three holes, we already have got early confirmation of mineralization, copper mineralization, from the Vanta analysis that we've been undertaking. To my mind, I mean, it's virtually unheard of that you know, this sort of early stage drilling, everything we seem to touch, we have hit mineralization. So, but we will announce those results in due course. But I'm extremely pleased. And you know, to be honest with you, whatever deal we may or may not strike with another, you know, we are sitting on a multitude here of targets, each of which could be a company maker in their own right. So I think the opportunities here are massive, as I said at the outset. All right, I will just quickly run through some of the questions that have been sent through, and then sort of open it up as well. So the first one is from David Katchik. He says, are you able to elaborate on the work being done in Chiesa East? And then secondly, is there any market cap at which stage bigger funds, bigger institutions could invest in ARC? Look, I'll deal with the second first and then pass the question on to Vasily as well. I think we're at the cusp here of getting to a size, 40, 50 million US, where institutions could take a stake in us. There's no current intention, as far as I know, but I have had initial approaches from one or two quite large London institutions, and that was mainly their feedback that if we got to that sort of market cap plus, that they would definitely consider taking a stake, because it's all about liquidity and the size of the market. The fact that obviously we now have a major actively interested in us, I think, will only add to the attractiveness for a institution to put some money into exploration with a good history with our neighbours and I think some excellent initial drilling results that we have ourselves. So let's see what we can do. We're going to try very hard to bring on some of those medium and larger institutions. Vasily, I'll hand over to you on the Chiesa East.
Yes, thanks, Nick. On Chiesa East, we've commenced with a metallurgical test work. The copper mineralization that we're seeing at Chiesa East is not your typical oxide copper mineralization. So we've commenced a test work program to determine what the metallurgical characteristics of the metallurgical responses of the ore body and mineralization. And post that information will feed into a grade model that we've already generated, which from which we can actually work out what resource we have And then that'll lead on to potentially scoping studies and further studies on the economics of the overall oxide cap there.
Okay. The next question is from Oliver Hewitt. First question is around exclusivity with Anglo. Does this prevent other majors from becoming involved and therefore reducing the competitiveness of a potential offer for our assets? Oliver, does it prevent other majors from coming involved now, i.e. over the next 6+ months? Yes, it does. Does it reduce the competitiveness? Absolutely not. I think, if anything, it increases the competitive tension. We know that there are majors out there looking for us at us. And so, as I said at the outset, you know, we're not obliged to accept any deal that may or may not, or that may be offered. And so in that sense, we have every opportunity to over time show this asset to others if there's sufficient interest. So I think you will see a lot of competitive interest actually developing here following this announcement. But Anglo obviously have the exclusivity over this period to put together something or do their technical DD and potentially put something to us. But we'll have to wait and see what happens there. Then secondly, Oliver says, the roadmap for this year, what you deem success to look like when reviewing the 2020 performance in 6 months' time. Look, I mean, Oliver, I think, you know, if we are able to announce a further significant target at Fuji, results that match or exceed previous drilling campaigns, I think that will be a very big tick in the box, because it confirms that we have yet another target. And then, as I say, I think we will be doing further follow-up work at Muswem and Chies and so on, and may well deploy further rigs there in due course. So and we'll have to see how that plays out. So that was from Oliver. Question: what level of input is Anglo having with the current drilling season? Are they putting resources into drilling advice and guidance? Look, at this stage, again, we can't really comment on this, but we'll certainly be trying to tap Anglo's knowledge of having worked on this area, having previously owned these licenses. Their top geo there, who's in charge of this transaction, is a bit of a resident expert in this part of the copper belt. He was involved, I think, in development of at Kalumbila. I think, you know, the more intelligence that we can pull in on this, the better. And so we're delighted that we have that level of expertise assisting us. So it could involve advice to us on where to drill if indeed they think there's a, I don't know, hypothetically there's a target we're missing or whatever. We'll have to see. But they're just commencing their technical work, so we'll have to see how that goes. But we have a very good relationship with them. We work very closely. I should say Vasily works very closely with their top geo. So I don't think I can say much more than that. And then the second question is, how confident is ARC that it is sitting on a significant tier one deposit of copper? Look, I think we are extremely confident that we're sitting on multiple targets, multiple tier one targets based on, the relatively modest amount of drilling that we've done to date. So, I'm as I say, more excited than I've ever been. I think, we really do have legs now, and I think we're funded, and we have a clear strategy. We're a pure play copper company, it's really a a very different ball game from here on in. We have a few more online questions, but I think why don't we open it up to the audience if they have any questions.
Sure, Nick. Well, if anyone has a question, then please feel free to unmute, and then I can always mute those who have waiting. Would anyone like to go ahead first? Chris Scott.
Hi, Nick. Team. Is there any update on hole 5 at Musuema, please?
Chris. So on, and that question's come through a few times. We did have some delays in the lab. We're doing the assay for us, so that has been was delayed. And in the meantime, we are completing some geological modelling work on that because it is a very interesting hole. But Vasily, do you want to just update on that and the sulfides that we've seen there?
Yeah, sure, Nick. We've seen quite a thick zone there of sulfide mineralization. And it looks like towards the bottom of the zone, we do have a little bit of copper mineralization there. I guess the significance of this hole is that it's the first time we've seen that sort of level of sulfides in the rock, and it's actually so that for us is quite interesting. The geological modeling work that we're doing. Actually, we've just recently completed most of it now, and it looks like we have to be looking further to the southwest. And I guess the significance of these sulfides is that in some of these bigger copper systems, you get a zonation of sulfides where you grade from the pyrites, the chalcopyrites, and into the copper sulfides. So that for us is sort of has perked our attention, and we certainly. Looking to getting back then now that we have a better picture of the geology and obviously getting those results out as well from that initial hole.
Right. Thanks, Vasily. So look, we will update as and when on that. And that's certainly over the next week or 10 days or so. Any other questions from the audience?
Got a question, yeah.
Will Coates, sir.
Guys, I'm just curious about your engagement with market strategy. I mean, London historically has a worse track record than, say, Toronto or Perth or TSX or ASX, specifically in the early stage exploration play in terms of company valuations, considering what they tend to achieve in those markets. So, what's your view on that? How would you make sure that ARC is optimally positioned from a valuation perspective? Considering it's not a promoters exchange,
look, I think all these exchanges have sort of the pros and cons, and each have had their sort of rebounds and collapse in confidences and so on. Australia was flavor of the month, and 2-3 years ago, it wouldn't touch mining or juniors. I might just ask Remy to comment. Remy follows the sector with other companies as well. Remy, do you want to comment on that?
Hi, Will. I don't know if you can hear me. But basically, I think Nick made a good point. It's the ASX and the TSX are not always better markets, to be honest. I think you have, I don't want to name names, but you have a couple of great success stories on the A market. Where you have someone with a very large copper gold deposit in Central America, and another one with a great discovery and a partnership in Australia. And I think when you have the right asset and the right strategy, the market will take care of itself. And I think that's what's happening with a few great success stories on the AIM, and I think that's what's going to happen with us as well. So you could feel indeed the last 2 years, especially with the Woodford crisis and the pressure on Brexit on the asset managers to start relocating their activities outside of the UK, you've just had the perfect storm for the AIM market. But I think we've passed that kind of peak stress for the UK, for the London Stock Exchange, and I think things are actually only getting better going forward for the exchange generally. And I think for the mining sector, there's a revival now for the sector globally, and I think it's happening on the AIM market as well. And like I said, if you have the right asset and you have the right management team, I think the market will notice no matter which exchange you're on. You know, you see Ericsson is starting to invest in the UK as well. So when there is a good investment to be made, global investors come to the UK as well if they have to. So I'm not too worried about this.
All right, thank you.
Okay. I will come back to the audience. Just conscious of all the various queries we've had online as well. So there's a question, were there any other majors involved looking at the asset alongside Anglo? The answer is yes, but I can't, for reasons of confidentiality, say anything more than that. I think that says everything. The second question online is, what do the directors of ARC see as fair value for the company if a major does indeed make a move for us? Look, that's a sort of how long is a piece of string? I mean, it could frankly be anything. It could be multiples of where we are today. I might just ask Remy again to comment. Remy, you've seen and studied, and we've all studied a number of these transactions. And I think it's fair to say they vary. I mean, you get the typical earn-in, which can be of moderate interest to shareholders to a takeout like you had with Kiwara. But Remy, do you want to comment?
No, I think that's correct, right? The range can be very wide. I mean, once you sit on a tier one asset, it's really how you handle the approach with the majors. It's public information. You guys know that Kiwara PLC, which was on the AIM market with a very early stage project, but a big deposit next to us, sold for about $260 million. And a year later, a deposit which was the same size but much more advanced, already in production, sold for $8 billion. This is the kind of deposit we're trying to find in our license, actually more than one, ideally. So this is kind of like the numbers we could kind of like aim for, but it's early stage to start to give you a fair value. But I'd like to think, you know, we can achieve a great outcome. You see where the other big success stories I've alluded to before on the AIM market are valued at the moment. So clearly there's a lot of upside for us if we do things correctly over the next few months.
Okay, thanks, Remy. Those of you who missed it, there's a link online to Remy's Battlefields presentation that he gave at the Indaba Mining Conference in February. And I think really confirms what Remy was saying, but also confirms and endorses what we haven't done and indeed what we have done with Anglo. So I think you can read a lot into that. It's a great presentation, well worth listening to. Can we open it up again to the audience, and then I'll go back online?
Nick, it's Sasha here. We've had some questions submitted by the Zoom group chat, so I might read them out because one or two people don't have microphones. So John Jones has asked about drilling at West Lunga and whether we're going to carry out any drilling there.
Yeah. What were the others, Sasha?
Other questions? There's another on the CASA sale. What's the latest from there, from CASA, and the payments from that? And again, on further airborne geophysics planned as part of the exploration work program. So there've been three so far.
Okay. Thanks, Sasha. Look, I'll let Vasily comment on the West Lunga and the airborne program. Just on CASA. As you know, we've completed that sale, but it's a deferred payment or series of payments in the form of a 45 million royalty and 5 million in cash or shares by March next year. And we have, as you'd expect, until that happens, taken security of the underlying shares we have. So we do have potential options on CASA, and indeed it you know, we have opened up discussions with the third party that I think may open up a slightly revised transaction, but much improved one in favor of ARC if we're able to complete that. So it's very early days, but the much higher gold prices has eked out a lot more interest in the asset, which is fantastic. And so we are.
Are you doing this or not?
We are busy talking to this other party and indeed the original buyer, and it looks as if we have a potential meeting of minds by parties involved. So as soon as we can say something more definitive, we will, but it's a great backdrop, the stronger gold price, to seeing whether we can eke out a better deal for ARC, which would result in you know, further, hopefully further upfront cash resources to ARC, but we'll have to see. And if we stick with the original deal, that's also fine. Although obviously the 45 million royalty is back ended, and you know, if we can eke out more cash up front, that would be better. And that's what we're trying to do. Okay, so on West Lunga and the airborne work, Vasily, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, we drilled two holes at West Lunga, both holes didn't quite intersect the geology that we were expecting to intersect, and didn't actually explain the contiguous, the overlapping anomaly and geophysical signature that we saw there. So it does require us to go back and do a bit more work there. You know, and to be honest, last year was the first year that we actually started putting holes in all the other targets in the license area. And, you know, we would have liked to have done more holes at Fuji, at West Lunga, but it would have meant then that we wouldn't have got any information from the other targets. So, it's still a target. We don't understand, we don't have an explanation yet as to what's giving off that signature, both from the geophysics as well as the soil geochem. So yeah, we still have to do a bit more work on that one.
I think, Vasily, it's worth adding that, look, it's almost unheard of to have, you know, circa 15 targets like this on in such a big area with what is, you know, admittedly a modest budget that we're looking at. So our strategy has been, you know, as you'd expect with limited finance, to really try test out as many of these targets as we can. I think if, you know, if we had a major involved, we'd be looking at these things quite differently and, you know, stratigraphically and so on, and probably drilling much deeper holes to maybe, you know, 500-600 meters to really understand the geology in places like West Lunga where it's not immediately obvious. So, you know, I think that's important, Vasily.
That's right. No, I mean, we're blessed for targets. We've actually got too many, unfortunately, or fortunately. So we just don't have the resources to attack them all at the same time. So we're very fortunate in that way. And we just have to keep working at it.
And Vasily, do you want to just highlight, I know we're limited to what we can say, but I mean, you've been very excited by what we've seen at Fuji.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, you know, as you sort of indicated, you know, in your opening statements, you know, first up, it looks like we've had some early wins. So, you know, from the VANT analysis that we're seeing, and it's just a matter now of getting those samples into the lab to confirm that. And then as we get more and more holes, we build up a better picture of that target and get a better understanding. And hopefully we end up with another significant discovery there.
Indeed. And then I think there was a question on further airborne geophysical work.
Further airborne geophysical work. It's down to budgets. Once we've sort of narrowed in on which are our main target that we're going to follow up on and we believe is the next big thing, then there's obviously further work that needs to be done, both in terms of the soil as well as the geophysics. And I believe that probably Anglo will probably end up doing that for us at their expense, my guess would be.
Okay, good. There's another online question here from Tom Ryan. I would like to know what was the reasoning behind the exclusivity deal with Anglo? Surely a few majors competing would all drive the potential price up. Look, Tom, I think it goes back to tactics here. I think you know, we play it step by step. You know, Anglo were prepared to come in and do some quite significant technical work, as Vasily said, on their account. You know, they may well unearth something that we haven't. And I think to have, as I say, that level of expertise, looking at all of our data, you know, is hugely helpful. Rest assured, you know, there will be, I'm hoping, further competition as and when this thing opens up. So I think you know, we're not in a sort of desperate fire sale. We could have just said, you know, put up the white flag and said, you know, highest bidder takes it, but that's not the way we're looking at this. So I think step by step, let's see what the Anglo work turns out. Let's see whether they're interested, and indeed if they are, whether there are any other interested parties. Who knows? We'll have to play that by ear going forward. Okay, opening it up again, Sasha, to any questions from the floor.
Nick, yep, we've got loads of questions in now on the Zoom chat. Maybe open up to the floor first, and if anyone doesn't ask their question directly, then I can potentially do it. So if anyone wants to, then please unmute yourself and ask a question.
Afternoon, Nick. I know I've asked this. Excellent news recently, obviously very exciting. Are you able to just delineate the kind of business model for ARC a little bit more? So is the goal really to, you know, the tier one kind of discovery and sale, or would it be, you know, would we look to move into production? Obviously, I'm talking, you know, a couple of years in the future, but I'm just trying to understand, you know, what the goal is. I mean, obviously, the upside, you know, and shareholder value is the goal, but I'm just trying to understand what your, you know, where your kind of mind is with regard to that.
Yeah, look, Joel, I mean, I think the model is, or the strategy is clear. In that, look, we're focusing on our exploration efforts. It's a very different ballgame to get into production. You need a whole different set of skill sets and indeed, you know, capital requirements. And we just don't have that wherewithal, that firepower, either in terms of personnel or capital. So I think, again, step by step, and, you know, I'm not ruling out that one would ever do that, and it may well be that if, in fact, actually the best outcome for us, for shareholders, is to develop something ourselves, we'll have no hesitation in doing that, notwithstanding the two challenges I mentioned. And I've seen it being done before in a previous career when I was involved in Indonesia. So, you know, it can be done. But it carries with it, you know, different challenges, and I think you know, we're sort of crawling rather than running at this stage in terms of when you look at the genesis of where mining companies get to. So step by step, but our primary goal and our strategy, our current strategy, is very much to do as much exploration work as we can. To eke out an involvement of a major in some shape form, whether, you know, whether it's a takeout or whether it's some other form of commercial transaction, who knows? But that to us is the quickest way to realize and drive shareholder value. You know, because otherwise, you know, we could be many, many years here eking out value. So I think the fact that we've had interest from the majors is incredibly exciting. We should pursue those opportunities.
Great, thank you.
Nick,
Moving on to the next question, I think it's relevant now, is from Mark Ward, and he's asked if you could expand on any of the expertise that Anglo-American may have with regards to the assets on site at present.
Look, again, good question, Mark. We're limited by our confidentiality agreement with Anglo, so I really wouldn't want to elaborate too much there. But as I said before, within their team, they have significant copper belt experience. There is an individual involved, as I say, who's written papers on this sort of northwestern copper region of Zambia, and has been involved in First Quantum's expansions there, discoveries there. So we're very lucky to have that sort of level of expertise. But beyond that, I don't think we can really say anything.
So related to Anglo again, Joel Harding has asked about future deals. What might they likely to be look like? Do they have exclusivity on all the prospects or individual ones?
Well, the deal with Anglo is exclusivity on the entire Zamsud-Zaku licenses, but it's for 6 months, and thereafter we'll have to see.
Okay, thanks, Nick. So I've got one from a Will here on the processing plant at Calabar. So could you provide an update on that? Is there any more news? Will that be for consideration only as part of a plan B? So I don't know. So maybe just go into the processing plant a little bit. I think there was another one on the plant itself as well, if I can work that in. Will it be used to sell copper directly to the market? So, yeah, over to you on the plant.
Yeah, look, the Calabar plant, I think we inherited this plant. We spent some money to finish it. It was part of the license for the requirements for that small mining license. To be honest, I don't have a great appetite in getting involved in processing copper. It's a different ball game. We have looked at and are looking at whether we lease that plant out to a third party, and we're in discussions there, which I think makes much more sense for us, where we take some sort of royalty at the end for however many tons of copper or whatever they process. So that really allows us then to focus on the day job, which is our exploration efforts.
Okay, another question from Shailen Radia. Will a mineral resource estimate be released to the market this year?
Look, I might actually let Remy answer that, because Remy, I think you've got a view which I and the board agree with you on. Do you want to look at that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, our view, generally speaking, is whenever people want to see a resource, it depends what you're looking for. Here, the real game is for the company is to define several million tons of copper in situ. So that's why the majors are involved, is to find those kind of deposits. If we rush into trying to answer the market needs for a resource, we're just going to do a small resource for now, because we just haven't drilled enough to be able to publish a JORC compliant resource of a half a billion tons of a billion tons. It's just not there. Otherwise, you can play around and do like some of the other juniors, give you a resource target, which is just what I want to see. It doesn't mean that's what is in the ground. And I can just do a few holes and tell you, look, we have a resource target of a billion ton. That's amazing, but that means nothing. So we're not in the game of trying to reach very quick milestones to pretend we've ticked the box with the shareholders. We think it's actually a very dangerous game to play, and a lot of money is wasted in trying to pay consultants to give us resources that are JORC compliant, which actually don't make any progress with regards to discussions with the majors. And again, if you look back at some of the success stories around us on the A market, one of them still has not published a single resource estimate, and yet they're worth £500 million. And the other one was re-rating to £500 million without having a resource. So you have to be very careful as an investor and as management of a company to not just rush into ticking the boxes by giving you a small resource, a small scoping study, to pretend that I've ticked the box and pay myself a bonus, if it doesn't actually achieve anything in terms of de-risking the project and becoming more attractive to the majors. So at this stage, it's very unlikely we're going to publish a resource unless we get, you know, the help of the major into drilling out a massive zone much quicker. But realistically, we're not going to publish a resource this year.
Okay. Thanks, Remy. I've got one that's been emailed through from Mark Ogden. How confident are you that Anglo will buy the Zambian license in the next 6 months? I mean, I obviously can't comment on that. That really depends all on Anglo. They certainly know what they're doing. Plan B, how many other mining companies have you spoken to in case Anglo do not buy the Zambian licenses? Well, obviously, given the exclusivity, we can't talk to any other mining company and won't be until that exclusivity expires. And we have no intention to, because we obviously are working with Anglo on this. But obviously, you know, if and when that exclusivity expires, you know, there'll be multitude, I think, of other companies, as I say, who've already reached out, but you know, we can't talk to them just yet, and we'll have to see what Anglo want to do, you know, as this exclusivity period comes to an end. But we've only just begun the work with them. So, when will the drilling results be released? That, as Vasilis indicated, that will be over the next few weeks. Assuming you know, everything is okay on the ground in terms of COVID-19 in Zambia, which there, and there, as I said, you know, whilst it's been okay to date, there have been reports of some increased incidences in Lusaka in particular. So we'll have to see that. Okay, should we just go to the live audience, if you like? Are there any questions there?
Tim Bastshall, you've unmuted just now. No, you're muted again. Okay.
Hi there, gentlemen. Quick question from my side, if I may. I'm not sure if it was maybe already covered, but with the recent change in the move up in the gold price, are there any implications on the recent CASA transaction?
Hi, Alexei. Yeah, look, nice to hear from you, by the way. You know, as you may not have heard, but it was a similar question earlier. We are looking at a potential change to the transaction if all parties can agree, which I think will be very advantageous to ARC shareholders. But you know, some of this has been motivated and prompted. Exactly as you say, by the stronger gold price. So I think there's no change in strategy in terms of, you know, disposing of our gold assets despite the higher gold price. We want to be a pure play copper company, and that's firmly where we are. But if we can eke out a better deal on the gold sale, fantastic. That's very much what we will do. And if we can report any progress there, rest assured we will be announcing that as soon as we can. There was also a separate question I saw online relating to Sturek and whether that's had any impact. I don't believe it has in terms of COVID. We expect our next tranche payment to come through later in August. And I think they are already drilling at the Sturek deposit, which is good news for Metals Tech, who acquired it from us. Any other questions?
Nick, there are a couple more on the Zoom chat. One from Jess regarding the delineation of the high-grade area at Chiesa East for a defined route to near-term production. I think she's asking whether this production is now off the cards or on. So if you could go into maybe some detail on plans there.
All right. Well, Vasily, do you want to talk about that, about Chiesa East?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, we have done a grade model on it, and we are doing now the test work. And based on that, we'll be able to then define a resource and then commence with, you know, a scoping study to work out what the economics would be for that project. I mean, the project is blessed in many respects. You know, it is an oxide resource. And it's all in saprolite, so there's no sort of drilling and blasting costs, and there's no processing, crushing, grinding costs as well. So, you know, significant costs there, any significant costs on that side. So potentially one could be looking at quite a cheap process, but again, it will be down to economics and whether the board has appetite for, you know, a small high grade plant. I guess that would be the answer to that one. So we are doing the technical studies behind that, and once those are complete, only then will the board be able to make a sort of informed decision as to the next steps on that.
Yeah, but you know, look, I think it's a good question, and I think Vasily is absolutely right. Look, the answer will come when this little technical study has been completed later this year, and I think if it's a modest capex to generate, you know, some near term cash flow to tap this oxide resource there, you know, why not? But it shouldn't detract from, as I say, what I see as our day job, which is all our exploration activities. But we'll have to see.
By the way, it's Remy here. I'll just jump in very quickly. I see a question on placing. Let's be very clear. We are funded to next year. So the money we've raised in May definitely covers the whole year, including the drilling, including the G&A, everything you can imagine. And then from next year onwards, we're getting cash from CASA. And as Nick alluded to, we are working on potentially restructuring that deal in our favor from a cash flow point of view. So there is no need for placing in any kind of scenario this year, even if things were to get worse in the market with COVID. We just don't have to, which you know, it was a painful exercise earlier this year to go through this. And I'm glad that we don't have to do this again. So that's pretty clear. If anything, I would like to potentially consider getting more, starting to exercise some of the warrants of options to increase the funding if we needed to. So if anything, we have options to add more cash into the company without having to raise any money externally at this stage. I hope that's pretty clear.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think we're in a very privileged position with further cash inflows from non-core sales. So that's a great outcome and a major involved with us. So I think we're in a very strong position in that sense. Okay, well, I think everybody, that unless there are any other questions, that wraps everything up, Sasha. And
Nick, can I just
look forward to... Sure.
These calls, is there scope for keeping them going on a monthly or as and when basis over the next 6 months?
Absolutely. I mean, we try to do them actually, you know, when there's enough to talk about, and I think there is now, and we're in the drilling season and so on. So we can certainly do that on a monthly basis if that's helpful.
Definitely. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
I can see Zafar is raising his hand on the chat. I don't know if it's a mistake or whether Zafar wants to ask a question.
Hi there, gentlemen. Good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for your time and your presentation. I have a lot of shares, hell of a lot. But listening to the presentation, I was very impressed. But why do you think it is the market has not been impressed? The share price moved about 8%, and now it's back down to where it started. Why do you think, as a board, that might be the case?
Remy, do you want to...
I mean, look, it's very hard, Zafar, to guess, and I can feel your frustration, right? You know, the day I was buying some shares on the day of the announcement, I was biting myself for buying shares for a while, but we had to obviously wait for this announcement, and then you know the share price was below what I was buying, so there's no point spending too much time, either myself or even the rest of you guys, on the share price on a daily basis. If you look back again, I keep referencing to those guys, but for me, this is a textbook to what we could achieve. Some of the great success stories of the last few years, again, you look at when they were publishing the amazing results, whether drilling, whether they were announcing a majors coming in and buying a minority stake in the company, and the share price would still lag massively versus the news published publicly. And then you would just wonder why. And you just have to accept that, you know, people do whatever they want with their shares. And so, you know, I could suspect, I don't know for a fact, but I could suspect that when people have doubled their money from the placing we did 2 months ago and they have warrants, maybe they want to lighten up. And I don't blame them in this environment. So, you know, we can't just pretend that they are only buyers of the stock, and people have to do what is right for them and their portfolio and their personal needs. And so you will potentially have sellers when the share price doubles. You'll have maybe another wave of sellers when the share price quadruples, etc. But again, when you have the right asset, you have the right management, and you don't do stupid things with your money at the company level, the share price will take care of itself. It might not go in a straight line. Nothing goes in a straight line, but the share price will take care of itself. So we have to accept sometimes that there might be a day of selling. There might be a stabilization period, but you know, it doesn't. I don't think it will prevent us from delivering if we do the right things.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, and good luck to us all. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Zafar. Okay.
Thank you very much. Well, I think if there's nothing else, we should wrap up. And thank you all for attending. And you know, be please feel free to email me or Remy or Vasily directly, info@arc.com, and we're very happy to take any further questions by email. Thank you, and thank you, Sasha, for hosting.
Thank you, Nick.